And today I want to ask you straight to your face, are you a child of God? Do you really trust and live for Jesus Christ? I didn't ask you if you were brought up in the church. I asked you, are you a child of God? Do you know Jesus Christ? I didn't ask you if you know about Him. I didn't even ask you if you believe in Him. That's not enough. You have to be committed to Him. You know, the Bible says that the devils believe and tremble. Some of us say we believe and we sin. Our Christianity isn't even skin deep. But Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. But I'm so glad that I came. It's so wonderful to see the young people serving the Lord, to see them with their zeal for God. And I have been praying for these churches, and I've been praying for your pastors, and really asking the Lord to come. If you said to me, out of all your experience over the years, what would you wish on us? What would you like, what would you say to our churches? This is what I would say. Be a very holy people. Live close to God, and then train your people to go out after the lost. Because that's why Jesus came to this earth. He came to die for the lost. He came to take men and women to heaven. And that little incident that happened in his life when he was here on earth, I just want to share a little bit of it with you today in Luke chapter 15, the Gospel by Luke chapter 15 and verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. And he said, a certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. May God speak to us from his word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for him. We thank you, Lord, that he has all power in heaven and in earth. And we thank you that he came to give his life a ransom for many. And as we bow here before you, we want to pray, Lord, for these dear people. We pray for the churches. We pray for the pastors. God, that your hand would be mighty upon them, that they may become mighty in the scriptures, that the people may become mighty in prayer. And Lord, I do pray in Jesus' name that you would speak to every life bowed here before you. Heavenly Father, we pray for the Holy Ghost to come, that he would come and convict of sin. We pray that he would reveal Jesus. We pray, Lord, that he would anoint us. We pray for your anointing to be upon the listeners. We pray for our open hearts and open ears, Lord. And I pray for the speaker. You are the only one who knows how weak the speaker is. And, oh, God of heaven, I pray that that anointing that has come will come again. I pray, Lord, that you'll touch hearts and touch this poor creature's lips. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Today, I just want to say a few words about what Jesus talked about to these people. You know, we need to always remind ourselves why he came into the world. He said, I have come to give my life a ransom for many. He said, it's not my will that any should perish. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The first thing that Jesus preached about in public was repentance. And to repent means to turn from your sin and turn to God. And I want to tell you today that as a preacher, it is my responsibility and my great burden. I have to get the words out of this book into your heart. And only the Holy Spirit can do that. But I don't want you to go home today and say, that was a nice story about the sheep that went astray and Jesus went after it. I don't want you to do that. I want you to look upon yourself as somebody the Lord is seeking. Do you understand? I know from reading the Bible for more than 50 years that if you were the only man or woman in this world, Jesus would have still died for you. You are very important to God. Jesus said, for what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul? And what was he saying when he said that? He was saying one soul is worth more than the whole world. All the diamonds of Kimberley, all the gold in the ground, all the oil in Arabia, all the wonder of the world, all the pyramids of Egypt, all the gold and the jewels are not worth your one soul. Your soul. When a woman is beaten by her husband, she thinks nobody cares about her. When a child is abused, she thinks nobody cares about me. And we begin. And when men go to the pub and other places to blot out their memories, to blot out their sins, to try and feel better, there's a time when they're sitting there and they're saying in their heart, nobody cares about me. God cares about you. God cares about you. What a blessing when that young woman quoted a few moments ago, for God so loved the world. You know what that means? So loved. Those words cost God the life of his son. So loved that he gave. Gave what? His only begotten son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And today I want to ask you straight to your face, Are you a child of God? Do you really trust and live for Jesus Christ? I didn't ask you if you were brought up in the church. I asked you, are you a child of God? Do you know Jesus Christ? I didn't ask you if you know about him. I didn't even ask you if you believe in him. That's not enough. You have to be committed to him. You know, the Bible says that the devils believe and tremble. Some of us say we believe and we sin. Our Christianity isn't even skin deep. But Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The only claim that you have on God this day is that you're a sinner. Outside of Christ, that's the only claim. If you're a sinner, Jesus wants you. If you think you're not a sinner, he doesn't need you. You think you're good enough, he won't save you. If you think the church can save you, you're wrong. Look at the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. This is what Jesus said. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Where was Jesus standing when he said that? Where was he standing? When I was a young evangelist, I used to preach that verse and tell people that Jesus was standing outside the door of the heart and that he was wanting to save them. And that's true too. But in the book of Revelation, where was Jesus? Listen to me. He was outside the church, trying to get in. Trying to get in. He says, if you will open the door and let me in. I read about a black man in America. And for 20 years he used to keep the garden and the lawns of this great church. And he was sitting on the steps one day crying. And as he was crying, a man sat alongside him and put his arm around him. And he said, why are you crying? And the man said, for 20 years I've been doing these things for all these people, but I'm a black man and they won't let me into the church. They won't let me in. And Jesus said to him, don't you worry. I've been trying to get in that church for 20 years too, and they won't let me in either. This is a serious matter. Very serious matter. Make sure that the Lord is in the very center of your heart and in the very center of your church. Give people the word of God. But remember that the scriptures can't save you. Jesus said, you do search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, but you will not come to me that you might have life. You know the Bible. Do you know the Lord? You know, you have memorized scripture. Good on you. I hope you're reading the Bible. You need to read 4 chapters of the Bible every day if you're going to read it through once in a year. And if there are Christians who've been with the Lord for a few years and they haven't read the Bible, they ought to be ashamed of themselves. For this is God's holy word. But the word won't save you. You say you believe the Bible. Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe in him? Have you trusted him? Has there ever been a moment in your life? Old people, listen to me. Young people, listen to me. Has there ever been a moment in your life when you seriously knew that you were a sinner before God and you needed a Savior? You say, well, I've been brought up in a Christian home. Just because you were born in a garage doesn't make you a motor car. And God doesn't have any grandchildren. A man and a woman can be sleeping in the same bed, and when Jesus comes, he'll leave one and take the other. You have no guarantee unless you know the Lord. He that has the Son has life. Not he that knows about it, he that has him. He that has not the Son of God has not life. In my ministry over the years, I have found preachers in the pulpit that didn't know the God they talked about. I have found young people that were doing all the right things in the church, but they'd never been born again. I found people in the choir singing the praises of God with their lips when their hearts were far from Him. Don't let that happen to you. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Listen, the world is so wicked now that you can't make it without Christ. You young people, you'll never live clean without Christ. With all the things young people see on computers, with all the things they talk about, with all the songs that they sing, if you put filth into your ear, you will get filth in your heart. If you look with filth upon something on the screen, it won't be long before you'll be doing it yourself. You have to go to God and let Him clean up your life. Save your soul. Give you a life that's fit for heaven. I heard you singing today, and I praise God for you. Singing about being in heaven. All right, then let me ask you some questions. Are you holy? Do you tell lies? There are no liars in heaven, not one. All liars have their place in the lake which burns with fire. Do you steal? Thieves are shut out. You see, in heaven they don't have locks on the doors. So if you got there, you might steal. If you stay like you are. Do you have lust in your heart? Can you look at a woman and see the whole woman? Or do you see something else? Is there lust in your heart? No uncleanness will enter the kingdom of heaven. You have to repent of it. I've had it in my heart. I'm not pointing fingers at you, but I'm telling you it has to be dealt with. You can't take it to heaven. The Bible says, the Lord knows them that are His, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Would you let me look at your life? Would you let me look into your heart? Would you? Why not? Because you've got things there you don't want anybody to know about. God knows. God knows. I was preaching this year on the book of Jeremiah. And what a shock I got when I was preaching it and reading it. I forgot what the message was. But you know what the basic message of Jeremiah is? God says, I'm tired of my people. I'm sick of their repenting. They keep saying that they belong to me, but they don't. They kill the truth. They kill my prophets. They worship idols. They secretly in the dark do things I cannot mention. And I'm tired. Listen, he's talking. These are God's people. They belong to Israel. And God says, I'm finished with them. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send them into exile. I'm going to send them far away from here. I don't want them. The temple will be destroyed. You see, and you know what? Jeremiah says, oh God, don't do this. This is terrible. And you know what God said to Jeremiah? You listen to me now. You know what He said to Jeremiah? You go and search through Jerusalem. And if you can find one righteous man, I will spare the city. Unbelievable. There wasn't one. There wasn't one.
If there was no church, would you be a man of God? If there was nowhere to sing, would you sing for Jesus in your heart? Would you worship God if you were the only man on earth?
I hope so.
And so we've got to look into our hearts. Look into your heart today. Look into your own heart. You say, well, the pastor knows that I'm a Christian. Does he really? Does God know? Does God know? Does God look into your heart and say, she's mine. She's mine. I remember so often, as I have preached the gospel, I want to be faithful to your heart. And I want to be faithful to God. Jesus said, this man had 100 sheep and one went astray. Don't ever, as a church, think that one person's not important when they go away. The whole church should pray for them. One went astray. And he went after it until he found it. Until he found it. You and I know, because we can look back with knowledge, that Jesus was talking about himself. He is the great shepherd. He's the shepherd of the sheep. And he's the one who went out. You know, I can see Jesus with the lamb on his shoulders. One man wrote a song about it called the 99, and a part of the song says, for none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord went through before he found the sheep that was lost. That's you, and that's me. And so he told that story, and then he told another story. He told the story of a woman who had 10 pieces of silver on a kind of necklace, and she lost one. And she had to search the house and create dust and look everywhere until she found it. Do you know what this story is telling us? One was lost outside the church, the other one was lost in the church. Lost in her house. Lost in her house. And there's going to be dust, there's going to be trouble, there's going to be difficulty if you're going to get that one that's lost in the church. I'm not trying to attack any Christian. But I don't want you to go to hell and say, why wasn't Pastor Barry faithful to me? I knew I didn't know him. I knew I wasn't following him. I knew I wasn't living right, and I deceived everybody. You think you can't deceive people? You can deceive your mother and father. You can deceive everybody. You don't believe me? What about the Bible? Judas Iscariot was with Jesus for 3.5 years. And he deceived everybody except Jesus. To the point that when Jesus said at the table, one of you will betray me, not one man looked at Judas. He said, Lord, is it me? Why is that? Because sin is so clever at covering itself. So clever. One of the responsibilities that I have as a preacher is to preach the word of God, that you may know what sin is. That you may know what sin is. You know, some people sin through ignorance. By that I mean, they don't know that it's wrong. But when you find out that it's wrong, you have to stop it. You have to stop it. It is wrong to live in fornication. Wrong in the sight of God. And no fornicator will get to heaven. You have to repent, get right with God, and get married if you're going to stay with that man or that woman. You have to. It's the word of God. If he doesn't love you enough to marry you, what are you doing with him? I won't go down too far on this road, but I simply say this to you. Jesus Christ came into this world to deal with sin, not to cover it up, not to pretend that it doesn't exist, but to deal with it. And he came with such wonderful compassion. The way he dealt with sinners, he will deal with you. Now, I was reading this morning about the woman at the well. You remember her? She came to Jesus, John chapter 4. She came to Jesus. Well, rather, he said to her, "Give me a drink." And she said, "Well, why do you ask me for a drink?" Well, to make a long story short, Jesus said, "If you drink the water that I will give you, it will be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And she said what you would say. She said, "Lord, give me this water." What did Jesus say next? He said, "Go and call your husband." That's what he said. I can see her, you know, I can see her. She put her head down. She kind of spoke a little softly. And she said, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "You're telling the truth. You've had 5 husbands. And the man you're living with is not your husband." But you know what happened to that woman? She received Christ. He then proceeded to tell her about that God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And all these other things, wonderful things, that he wouldn't tell the Pharisees these things. Now listen, remember, we're talking about a woman who's living in adultery. But Jesus knows her heart. And he knows when she asked for that living water, she really wanted him, she wanted the truth, and so he dealt with the sin question. You want to know Christ today? You've got to turn away from your sin. You can bring your sin to Jesus, but you can't go home with it. You have to turn from your sin. You turn or you'll burn. You have to turn from your sin. But like this woman, you can come. And you can receive him for yourself. And you can know him personally. And then now listen to this. For a long time, people have been trying to find out if Jesus was the Messiah. He didn't even tell some of his own disciples. And the woman said, "I know that the Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I that speak unto thee am he." Can you believe that? I am the Messiah. Now she ran back to the village. What did she say to the people in the village? Did she say, "I found the Messiah"? Not exactly, not first. What she said was, "Come and see a man that told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" You see, he dealt with sin. And then we've got the story of this prodigal son. And I'm not going to talk on the prodigal son, except to say he went off into a far country. And you always have friends when you've got money. But when he ran out of money, somebody said, "Well, I don't have a job, but you can go and look after the pigs." And so he's eating and drinking the same place as the pigs. You know, friends, let me tell you something. Young people, let me tell you something. That's what the devil will do to you. He'll do that to you. You're forgetting your mother, mom and dad's table. As the pastor said, you'll end up with the table of devils. I can remember as a young man, I got converted to Christ just before my 21st birthday. And I can remember longing in my heart. I had nothing to do with the church. I never read the Bible. I knew nothing about God. But I remember in my heart wishing that I didn't have to do the wicked things I was doing. Well, I didn't have to, because Jesus came and changed me. And He can change you. He can come into your life. Or He may be there already, but I want to ask you, are you right with God? Seriously, are you right with God? You lift up hands in worship, are they holy hands? Is it that you have a holy mouth? If you leave this place and you say words you shouldn't say, you haven't got a holy mouth at home or in the church. It's not right. Get right with God. This man said, I'm going to go home and I'm going to say to my father, Father, give me the goods that fall to me. Rather, no, that's what he said before he went. Father, I just want to be a hired servant in your house. I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. And do you notice what happened to him? When he came back, he said to the Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. But before he could say, make me a hired servant, the Father said, put a robe on him. Put a robe on him. Excuse me, did the Father say, you go home and have a wash and clean up and come back and I'll give you a robe? No, he didn't. Put the robe on him, smelling of pigs, mud on his face, put the robe on him. That's what Jesus Christ did for us with his righteousness. Jesus doesn't wait for us to get cleaned up. He saves us how we are. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. And I found in him a resting place. And he has made me glad. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ today? Do you follow him with all your heart? I hope you do. As I said, has there been a time in your life when you acknowledged that you were a sinner? You say, oh, it's all right. The bishop laid hands on me and prayed at my consecration. I do not want to be rude to your bishop, but I want to tell you on the authority of the Word of God that only Jesus Christ can put his hands on you for your salvation. Nobody else. Nobody else. No prophet can save you.
Yes.
No priest can save you.
No.
No pope can save you.
Yes.
How can a man forgive your sins who has to have his own sins forgiven?
Yes.
You can't bring forth something clean out of something that's unclean.
Yes.
Go to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You want a hand? His is the hand with a nail print in it.
Amen.
Go to that hand. How dare you go to a man with his feet down here in the mud and the blood and think he can do something for you about God?
Yes.
You don't know anything about God when you think like that.
Yeah.
Only God is holy.
Yes.
Only Jesus can save you.
Glory to God.
Only the Holy Spirit can speak the truth to your heart.
Hallelujah.
And you're hearing it today.
Yes.
A voice beyond the voice of the preacher. You've never seen a weaker preacher than me.
Amen.
But the Holy Spirit will tell you the truth.
Great, Pastor.
He will tell you the truth in your heart. You have to be like the prodigal.
Hallelujah.
You have to come as you are.
Yes.
And what are you coming to? You're coming to the cross of Calvary. For it was on the cross that he bare our sins in his own body. At the cross. True, as the pastor said, Easter's coming. But I have to tell you, I'm preaching at Easter, I think.
Yes.
But I never wait for Easter. I always try and preach the cross of Jesus Christ. And the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, our faith is in vain.
Yeah.
If Jesus Christ didn't bear my sin in his own body on the tree, that I'm finished. You know, sometimes I have to bow my head before God, and this is what I say to Him in the privacy of my bedroom. Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for what I did. And Father, if Jesus didn't die for this sin, I'm finished. But He did, you see. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. If any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the only one who can take away your sin. And you may be sitting in this congregation today, and the truth is you've got sin in your heart. Bring it to the cross.
Hallelujah.
Bring it to the cross. Come to the cross by faith. You say, what do you mean? Well, men like Abraham, they looked towards the cross. We look back at it. We look back at it. It's the same cross. This man made one sacrifice for sin forever.
Amen.
One sacrifice for sin forever.
Hallelujah.
He's not going to die again. Praise God. He's never going to suffer again. You're not going to get your hands on Jesus again, you wicked world.
Hallelujah.
He came unto His own. His own people, and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power, the authority, to become the sons of God. I'm the Son of God.
Hallelujah.
Not because you say I am, or I say I am, but because Jesus Christ died for me on the cross.
Amen.
And I accept that sacrifice.
Hallelujah.
I expect I'll be in heaven before most of you. But let me tell you this. When they say to you, you know, he's not well, and some people think he's going to die soon, I want you to know something. I want you to know that if my mind can still think and my heart can still pray, when that day comes, this is what I will be saying. There is nothing I ever did. There's nothing that I ever did. No prayer I ever prayed. No sermon I ever preached. I go out into eternity on the name of Jesus Christ. On His sacrifice.
Hallelujah.
And nothing else.
Yes.
Nothing else.
Hallelujah.
Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to Him for dress. Helpless look to God for grace. Foul, foul, stinking, rotten, I did fly to that fountain filled with blood, and there He cleansed me. He will cleanse you.
Amen.
He will save you. Listen to me. If there was a man or a woman here that God would not save, I would not preach.
Yes.
I would not serve a God who would pick and choose. I would not serve a God who would say, I'll take Mrs. Brown, but not Mr. Brown. Mr. Brown, I'm just plucking a name out of the air. You can cry out to God with all your heart, and He will save you. Jesus said, Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. What are you going to do today? Are you in the church, but you're not saved? You're a coin that's been lost in the church. Or have you gone outside and the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ have been after you, and it was God that brought you to the service today? Maybe you didn't even intend to come. Certainly you didn't expect, I don't think, to hear me say these things. But you can know Christ today.
Amen.
You can receive Him into your life today.
Hallelujah.
You can turn from your sin today. You say, oh, well, first I've got to go back and fix something up. No, 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 no. You don't have to do that. First, you've got to come to the cross.
Hallelujah.
That's what you have to do. Then go and fix it. He'll give you the strength and the power.
Amen.
Jesus said, if you come to me, I will not cast you out. I will not cast you out. And today I'm inviting you to come to Christ. Well, it's not really my invitation. It's the invitation of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If He's speaking to your heart, you respond.
Hallelujah.
Say yes to God. Not yes to me, but yes to God. Today, this is very simple as far as I'm concerned. I'm just going to give a simple invitation. You want to know Christ is your Savior, then you get out of your seat and come and stand down here in front of the pulpit. And by coming, you're saying, I really do want to know the Lord. I really want to repent of my sins. I want to turn from the darkness to the light. And from the power of Satan unto God. And I want to receive forgiveness of sins. You come now. We're going to just bow in a word of prayer. And then after I've prayed, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat and just quietly come. Stand down here, and by coming you're saying, I'm a sinner who needs Christ. And you may come with a Christian. Or you may be a Christian that's coming. Because you know you want to get right with God, and now's the opportunity, now's the time. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Let us just pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for these dear people. I pray for those to whom you would speak today. I pray for the ministration of the Holy Spirit. And I ask in Jesus' name that those whose hearts have been touched by you would respond to you. Amen. You come now. Stand up and come.
There is room at the cross for you.
Say to those young people that are standing on the platform, if this means you, then you put down the microphone and stand down here. If you know you should be there, then you stop singing and put down the microphone and come down here with the rest of us. God will bless you. Sing the chorus one more time. You can come
at the cross. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross.
Just come over this way a bit, please. Just come over this way and make it a smaller circle. Thank you. Yeah, move up here. Now, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to pray the sinner's prayer. And I want all of you that have come forward to pray this prayer aloud after me. Just pray this prayer aloud, sentence by sentence, after me. I'm just going to pray, and while we're praying, lift up your heart to God. Don't just copy me. Don't say it unless you really mean it. But if you mean it, and I'm sure you do, pray the prayer aloud after me, sentence by sentence. Let us pray. Oh God, I come to Thee.
Oh God, I come to Thee.
I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
I have sinned against You.
I have sinned against You.
I thank You that Jesus died for me.
I thank You that Jesus died for me.
I believe He died for me.
I believe that He died for me.
And today I'm asking Him to come into my life.
Today I'm asking Him to come into my life.
I pray that He would come and bring forgiveness and cleansing. Bring forgiveness and cleansing. And I pray that You would help me to turn from all sin. Lord, I understand that if I hang on to my sin, You will not save me. But I'm asking You to save me. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
If you just bear with me a moment longer. You know, when a couple get married, there's a point in the service where the minister says, do you take this woman, do you take this man? And they say yes. At that point, that's when they're married in the sight of God. It only takes a moment to invite Christ into your life. But like the marriage, it takes a lifetime to work out. Now, the Lord has come into your heart today, not because I say so. You will know if He has. Then worship Him, praise Him, and get a hold of a Bible if you haven't got one, and read it all the time, and pray. God will guide you. God will help you. He will heal your heart. And He'll give you a strength you've never had before. And I think that some of you are here today because you have not been living the full Christian life. Just give everything to Jesus. Everything to Jesus. If you don't know what to do, I'll tell you what to do. Get a piece of chalk and draw a circle on the ground. And then get inside the circle. And say to God, everything inside this circle belongs to You. God will really bless you. Now I'm just going to pray for you and then I'm going to go and sit down. I'll leave you to the pastor. But remember this, read the Word. Pray. I'll be praying for you. I'll be here for a little while. If anybody wants to talk to me, I'll be happy to talk to you. If there's any problem that you want to discuss, or even if you want to say hello, it'd be great to see you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for these dear people. We thank You that You love them so much. And Father, I thank You for the honesty of heart that has brought some people to this front today. I thank You for the sincerity, Lord, of the people here. And I pray that people will go on from this day and they'll be able to say, that was the day I met Jesus. That was the day I received the Lord. And Heavenly Father, we just humbly commit every soul to You. Lord, some will be going home to difficult homes. Some will be going back to a situation that is almost impossible. But we thank You that from this day they will never walk alone. You will be with them and You will keep them. Now, Heavenly Father, again, we pray for Your blessing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.